One of the hot topics we've been covering is the controversy over RuPaul's Drag Race use of the word tranny and shemale. Some say the words are hurtful and don't belong on a reality TV show. Others are calling it a free speech issue and are telling those who have a problem with it to lighten up.
Most famously, musician Calpurnia Adams said she doesn't like the word shemale, but she doesn't want to start policing art. Drag Race contestant Jocelyn Fox says it's hypocritical of gays to tell trans people what they can or can't do.
And then there's Ben de la Creme, who says hurtful words don't belong in a drag queen's vocabulary and will spoil all the fun.
Today we're joined by Parker Marie Malloy, one blogger who's led the charge against using these words and says we can't move forward towards equality if we don't address this issue. Parker writes for The Advocate as their trans issues correspondent.
Listen as Parker Marie takes us to task for some of the things we said on the show and receives a special phone call from Alaska Thunderfuck, who made the controversial video where he had RuPaul shoot a transgender blogger dead with a blow dryer. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of people like you. Thank you. Upgrade your account today at feastoffun.com/plus and listen to our fabulous podcast 5 days a week.
These are exciting times we live in, people, especially when it comes to nonconformists of the gender and sexual persuasion. One of the hot topics we've covered this year has been the battle over language, gender expression, and performance, or as most bloggers call it, shemale gate, the controversy over RuPaul's Drag Race use of the word tranny and shemale. Some say the words are hurtful under any context and don't belong on a reality TV show. Others are calling it a free speech issue and are asking those who have a problem with it to lighten up. One blogger who's led the charge against using these words is Parker Marie Malloy, who says, "We can't move forward towards equality if we don't address this issue." Parker writes for The Advocate as their trans issues correspondent, and she is here in the home studio. Welcome to Feast of Fun, Parker.
Hey, it's good to be here.
So tell me how this blog entry where you were criticizing RuPaul's Drag Race episode got snowballed into this kind of discussion.
Yeah, sure. So that particular blog entry was written the day after the episode aired, mm-hmm. which I think was March 18th.
So several months ago.
Well, last month. No,
yeah.
It's only May.
A month and a half.
Month and a half. Okay.
Let's call it that.
Okay.
So
it's not even a month.
It seems.
Oh wait,
like...
April. Oh, I missed
yeah,
April.
You just missed April.
You skipped over April.
Oh,
don't forget April.
Yeah,
sorry,
come on.
Month and a half.
But mm-hmm. So I wrote this piece that was basically highlighting what I was watching unraveling on Twitter, which was just people going, "Here we go again."
But Twitter's full of people
oh,
who
yeah,
are,
yeah, yeah.
you know, cry when the sun is shining and sing when it's raining.
I know. But and then at the same time, it was like, yeah, okay, so this does pretty blatantly go against GLAAD's own guidelines, which, you know, I think most, if someone ran a very homophobic joke on a show, people would go, "You're violating GLAAD's guidelines. Please step in." Basically, a bunch of trans people got really angry. I decide to write about it, yeah. and somehow I become the, you know, a villain.
Why do you feel like you've been vilified?
You know, I think it's just that at the time, especially, I had a tendency to just use Twitter for whatever was on my mind.
You're good about that.
Yeah.
I mean, even
oh,
like,
you're saying it comes back to bite you in the ass?
So, well, because it's yeah. always, it's a permanent document of what, of your innermost thoughts in
yes.
some ways.
Yeah, and I mean, there's like, you know, I've tweeted 19,000 times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wish people would only attribute each tweet 1/19,000th of, you know,
yeah.
when judging me. But, you know, so anyway, so I tweeted this long series of tweets where basically I was talking about the history of RuPaul saying insensitive things towards trans people. And it kind of went along the lines of, you know, in 2012, he gave this interview where he basically said, "If you don't like being called tranny, deal with it." And time went on. He then once said that the only difference between a drag queen and a transsexual is $25,000 and a good surgeon.
Now it's about 40,000.
You know that's just a joke, right?
I know it's a joke, but at the same time, it's like we're not the, you know, someone could be, you know, anyway.
Somebody could believe that.
Yes. So, and that's the thing. The public is informed by what RuPaul says, sadly.
And part of the reality that we face here is that there's not a lot of transgender people in the media.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people's only awareness or visibility of transgender people is what they see on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Exactly.
And even that show doesn't have much of an audience. It's 300,000 compared to like, what is it? Duck Dynasty. That's like 1.2 million.
Oh, I think they're like 3 or 4 million. I think they were at 11 million during the peak.
I mean, and that show sucks. You know, so it's like.
But the fan base for RuPaul's Drag Race is very strong. People that watch that show really love drag.
Yes.
And so you wrote this blog entry sort of sounding the alarm or leading the charge of saying, you know, we'd like for you to stop using these words and show a little grace and dignity and respect.
Exactly. And what kind of came back to bite me in the ass a little bit was that in that string of tweets that where I was just detailing the things that RuPaul has done in the past and saying, and then I kind of, as I was wrapping it up, was saying something along the lines of, it seems, you know, it really seems like if this is the position he takes on trans issues where it keeps being brought to him time and time again, it seems like he hates us. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, I fucking hate him. And then
Parker Marine hates RuPaul.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, that, you know, that was a poor choice of words. And I don't hate
What did
him.
You want mean to say?
I meant to say it's very frustrating that someone who is seen as a leader in LGBT circles is, you know, just indifferent to, you know, concerns of a group that,
A lot of people think that it goes along with intent. And this kind of segment, they say that, you know, Michelle Visage was on this podcast saying, like, RuPaul loves trans people. Her intent was not to hurt anybody. RuPaul would never want to hurt somebody like that.
Well, I mean, if you have to tell people this, if you have to keep saying, no, I'm on your side, I'm your friend, I think that's a pretty clear indicator that you're not.
Well, that's kind of like the Piers Morgan, Janet Mock interview.
Exactly.
Like, I'm on your side, you bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, I'm on your side. I support gay marriage. What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. Well, and you know, when I called Michelle on it too, and I just said, Michelle, like, you know, ever since the first season when you've got shemale thing came up, people have been complaining about that. She's like, I'd never heard anybody complain about it. I've never heard anybody complain about it. I'm like, what rock do you live under that you hadn't heard people complain about it? Certainly, it escalated when they had the shemale segment.
Yes.
And so that really blew up, and that's why they took both the shemale segment off the line and the You've Got Shemale. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, like knowing RuPaul, and because she's kind of obsessed with people being offended, and she likes to talk about how people, we live in the society nowadays where everybody's offended by everything all the time. I'm like, when did we ever live in a society where people weren't offended by things? Yeah. I mean, the word offended is probably thousands of years old. So people have been getting offended for a long time.
I think we're becoming more conscious. And with the consciousness and with advancement of equality and visibility comes difficult, painful conversations like this one.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with you that we need to have this conversation. What I'd like to add to the conversation is let's talk about first wave, second wave, third wave, post wave feminism.
Oh God!
What?
Oh my God!
So do you? I mean, to clarify for the listeners, what I'm talking about here is third wave feminists, which is Riot Girls and bell hooks and people in the '90s, were saying, you know, looking back at second wave feminists, which were saying that porn and sexuality is oppressive to women. Yeah. They said the opposite. They said, I reject that notion. And I said, I want to embrace and reclaim these taboo words, bitch, slut, whore, and use it as a source. My sexuality is a source of empowerment. Then there's post-wave feminism that says, you know, gender roles are not supposed to be synonymous with each other, but complementary. And so with this debate here, it comes across from my perspective that it is some individuals feeling like the slang for transgender, which is shemale and And really, that's not really being used anywhere. Yeah. But tranny is a very commonly used word.
Yeah, I've had that tossed at me a number of times.
And, you know, has it ever been... And so the rejection towards tranny, I think, might be coming more from the fact that there's individuals who are displeased with the association of sex and sex workers. Well,
so here's the thing. My issue with that word... isn't the word itself. If I decided I was going to go call myself a tranny,
yeah,
whatever, you know, I'll do that. But, you know,
I use it in your video blogs. You talked about that extensively.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like when I write, I use that word, you know, and usually it's in the context of, I hate this word, but you know,
so you don't call your friends.
No. Well, and that's exactly it. It's this, you know, if you want to reclaim a word and, you know, take its power away, and use it on yourself. You don't have, you know, what gives you the right to call someone else something they don't want to be called? So if I were to use tranny to refer to myself, that's fine. But if I were to say, yeah, I'm friends with a bunch of trannies, and it's talking about transgender people in general, yeah. I think that's where it becomes problematic, where it's me putting a label on someone else.
Now, one thing that you also bring up in your writing is that the concept of what transgender is mm-hmm. is so broad and so controversial sometimes. Some people, you know, transgender people are like, we are not drag queens. Yeah. We are people who are assigned the wrong gender at birth, and we're spending our lives trying to fix that.
Sure. And
but yeah. then there's other people who are saying, you know, if you choose to express yourself artistically or creatively in a gender other than the one that you're assigned at birth, there's a transgender component to being a drag queen. And so, in some sense, drag queens are transgender with an asterisk afterwards.
I think what that comes down to is really it's about self-identification. It's supposed to be this, you know, what one identifies as is such a personal thing, you know. You identify as a man. Why? Because you say you're a man. You know, it has nothing to do with what body parts you have, you know, how you were raised. It's how you see yourself. It's you taking agency over your own identity. And so when it comes to the issue of trans people, you know, deciding who's trans, I think that has to come down to how one self-identifies. I'm not going to tell some drag queen that doesn't identify as trans that, you know, I'm sorry, buddy, you're trans. You know, that doesn't do anyone any good. Mm. I think it has to be from a place
of self-identifying. Do you feel like it's being prescribed to people as opposed to them choosing?
Yeah. It should be opt-in, not opt-out. Like, mm-hmm. no one is trans by default because we live in this, you know, we live in a cis-normative society, which is to say that we assume that everyone that we meet is cisgender until proven otherwise, which is the same. I mean, we also live in a heteronormative society as well, where everyone just assumes someone's straight until they're told otherwise or until they are led to believe otherwise.
With the notion I hear that there's like the terms LGBT will not exist 100 years from now in our vocabulary because when you look at people's gender and sexual identities, mm-hmm. we all share a lot more in common than we have differences. Everybody throughout at one point in their life, in some aspect of their expression, it challenges the notions of what male and female is. And so I like to say there's a little bit of you and me and everything LGBT.
Aww.
But those are fighting words for some people. And I've noticed this, like transgender people insult each other mm-hmm. by saying she's not really trans because she hasn't taken enough hormones or she's not been spent enough time being, you know, there's this battle to discredit people. Sure. Because of their authenticity, that they're not sure. really a real woman, not really a real man, or they're not real transgender even.
Sure. And I think that's kind of shitty of people to do that, to say, you know, you're not who you say you are. Creating these hierarchies doesn't help anyone. And I really feel that someone saying you're not trans enough to someone who says, well, I'm trans, You know, I feel like that comes from a place of internalized transphobia. It comes from this place where you don't, if you're making these kind of comments, telling someone else that what they believe about themselves isn't true, mm-hmm. then what does that say about what you believe about your own self? You know,
well, it's coming from a place of pain and
yeah,
suffering, I mean, and it's coping with not feeling, you know, when some, all I say when somebody looks down upon you or challenges your existence, it's usually because they feel like they don't exist themselves, you know, that they're trying to feel better about themselves by dissing on you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Were you surprised by the negative reaction that you got to your initial blog post in mm-hmm. the Huffington Post?
Oh, that one back last year, the...
Well, the one that in March, the
no,
the,
that wasn't on no. Huffington. It was
that was at the Advocate. Oh,
it was at the Advocate.
It was at the Advocate. Okay,
because,
sorry.
Because I did write one last year, which actually, if you read it, is very much a precursor to what, you know, what ended up happening. Yeah. It was a post at Huffington Post, Gay Voices, where I used to write pretty frequently, and it was just called Gay Dudes, Can You Just Not? And it was just like, stop using these slurs, and it talked about. Christian Siriano, Lance Bass, Neil Patrick Harris.
I think Christian Siriano ruined the word tranny for everybody.
Because people didn't really care about it that much, I don't think, before.
It was in the conscious. And then popularizing
and
that
everywhere.
Hot tranny mess right. on the TV show, suddenly everybody, you know.
And then you had newspapers yeah. like the New York Post going, you know, tranny found dead under the train tracks.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, that's, you know. Because, you know, there's certain segments of the world where, you know, tranny is a term of endearment.
Sure. You know.
I kind of like the word. Part of it is it's you know, transgender. It's like, it's multisyllabic and it's hard. It's, you know, and trans, it's hard to say. But tranny with a Y, it's like granny or sunny. It's cute.
It's diminutive.
Okay. But at the same time, I think it objectifies people too. But it's. I think it's a word that it's like, it's not for you or for me to decide whether this word's going to be around 50 years from now. You know, language is an organic thing that is out of our control. But at the same time, we can have really important conversations about these words and how they affect us.
Absolutely. And I think that what's important here and what's getting lost here is the fact that these words, you know, they're not just words. There's no such thing as just words. Words have power. Words are given power through years and lifetimes of being used in a negative way. And in the case of words like tranny or words like shemale or any other anti-trans slur, you know, what it comes down to is it's people dehumanize and delegitimize trans people by using these words like, oh, that's not a woman, that's tranny. Oh, that's not a real woman. That's, you know, that's a lady boy or something like that, which sounds like a chair.
It's very Thai.
Yeah. Well, it is very Thai. Yeah. And, you know, and that's something that if, you know, mm-hmm. All I can do is, you know, I understand my own surroundings. I don't understand Thailand because I've never been there.
Well, what am I supposed to do? I had all the stationery and balloons printed with the word shemale.
I mean,
what am I going to do with that stuff now?
You know, you can. Well, sadly, you could sell it to
RuPaul.
To RuPaul. And
So how do you feel about how they how Logo and World of Wonder handled it? Because initially, you know, they came out with a statement saying we didn't mean to offend anybody, and then it was just like it wasn't good enough. People were just like, we want something more. And then Logo, the network, came out and said we're gonna yank shemale, and we were gonna yank you've got shemale from the episodes.
That just something about yank shemale.
I think that's a website. Actually, there's a shemale yum is a website.
The website is full of hilarious porn, by the way.
So that actually was one of the first websites to use that word.
What, Shemale Yum?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And the same guy who runs that kind of built up this giant empire around it where he was using these words, and it was like 10 years later after he had launched all these things where he realized that these were offensive words, where someone finally mm-hmm. brought that to his attention, like, hey, we don't like being called shemales.
So are they at Shemale Yum, or they're phasing out the word?
No, they're not. Okay. But he then said, well, I'd lose business
That's what T.S. Madison said on the show. If you are a sex worker, if you're a porn star, you need these words. Otherwise, you're not going to make any money.
Oh, I totally understand that. Because if you go to do a Google trend search and search transgender woman, and then you search tranny, shemale, people search for terms tranny and shemale
because they're looking for it.
You know, exactly. It's always in like Texas too,
and Pakistan, isn't it?
There's Pakistan like and Texas
yeah.
at the top.
It's the more repressive
the society, I think, the more interest in unusual and nonconformity.
Yeah. The areas that most want to deny me rights are the ones that really want to see people like me naked. So,
well, you hurt the ones you love.
I know. But yeah, so anyway, so these words are searched significantly more than words like transgender. So yeah, from a business point of view, they'd lose business, if not.
So it's justifiable for them to use it?
They're going to make their own decisions, and people can say that's really crappy of you to do that. And the same guy who owns the same guy behind those companies, those websites, also hosts this award show called up until this year was called the Tranny Awards. And
I'm mad that I never won one of those.
Sorry, you never won a tranny.
Did you ever win one?
No. It's for sex workers.
Oh.
And nothing against sex workers.
I don't know if you had a part-time gig or something. I don't know.
Gotta pay them bills.
But well, you do write for the Huffington Post, so that's kind of like being,
you're paid in exposure. That's what Noah told us.
The editor.
But
so how do you feel like the logo handled it?
I feel like they tried to just their first statement was kind of ridiculous and caused a
bunch
of eyes.
It was like a half apology or something, right?
Yeah, it was.
Well, it was a statement of a fact. Yeah. Like, what is it? It was like shemale is offensive to transgender people.
Yeah, that was Glad's first statement. Well, that was where.
Yeah,
it was,
and I'm like, well, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, where it's like, come on, Rich Ferraro.
Where's your stand? Well, the part of it is, and I'm not sure what the point of Glad is, even though we've interviewed some of their people on this podcast. After I'm done, I'm still left going, what do you
well,
guys
they're
actually
supposed
do?
To be a watchdog, and so they're supposed to look out for things like this.
But we have the internet. We have Parker Marie to be the watchdog.
Yeah, but sometimes you need an organization behind it to say and to really kind of put pressure on it, people that are dedicated to it.
But the problem, I think the shortcoming of GLAAD is that they just kind of go wherever the money is.
Yeah,
and so
they've got to pay their bills.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and honestly, in my opinion, I feel like that's why, that's why Logo gets more of a break than Fox or CBS or, just all the Viacom.
The non-gay channels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like Viacom gets a break. They're giant and they have Logo. And in general, they're seen as good, but they've got to raise money. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a relationship that GLAAD would probably rather not sever.
Were you happy that they removed the shemale? Ooh, girl, you got shemale.
You know,
in the show.
That wasn't really that was more icing on the cake for me than anything else. It was like, oh.
Because it was
cool.
Vindication for you. You're like, hey, I was on the right side of this.
Yeah, it was like, cool, they took it down. And to kind of answer the question from earlier, I think that Logo's response the second time around, where they weren't talking about all the colors in the rainbow and whatever. I thought that was great. That was fine. Saying, hey, we realized that,
And then, of course, RuPaul's reaction on Twitter was...
Animal Farm.
So, on Animal Farm, which one of the animals are you?
Yeah, I guess I'm a pig.
Because a pig's getting charged, right?
Yeah. And I clearly forgot the mission of the revolution. So,
you just want RuPaul's career
is basically what she's
saying now, right?
That's exactly what I want. Totally. I want
to
be...
What do you feel is the revolution that RuPaul refers to that got...
Because she's very cryptic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like she's not really explaining anything.
Well, I think maybe the revolution for RuPaul was like to break down these barriers so we can just see each other as human beings and be outrageous and crazy without destroying each other.
And okay, so the thing is, I feel like RuPaul does not completely understand transgender individuals because RuPaul has never explicitly said, I identify as trans. From any interview I can find, and believe me, I've tried. Because I'm like, I kept wanting to give the benefit of the doubt. I was like, maybe I'm just missing something. No, you know, they're
a drag queen, gender fuck.
Well, that this kind is of also stuff, RuPaul's but... refers to his drag persona as a monster.
Yeah.
I bring out the monster.
Yeah, well.
So, you know, and listen, sometimes this, I tell this to people, to performers all the time that are drag queens. It's like you're creating a second entity that you're working for. Mm-hmm. And Ben de la Creme says about his drag character mm-hmm. is that it's a symbiotic relationship. But Lady Bunny, and I think a lot of drag queens eventually are like God. They grow to hate their own creation.
Yeah.
And they resent the fact that here they've created this alter ego for themselves that is they don't feel is the authentic self. And so they have to come to peace and terms with maintaining this double life, like Superman and Clark Kent.
Yeah.
So, like, I never show that in the Superman, like, comic books, is, like, superheroes resenting the fact that they set up a situation where they have to hide their identity in the first place.
Well, I feel like that's more Spider-Man than anything
else. Yeah, it is.
Don't go see Spider-Man 2. It's,
it's a terrible movie.
Yeah, it's weird. Also, now all my Google alerts for my own name, because of course I have those. Have just been sending me back Spider-Man 2 things.
So then Alaska Thunderfuck has a video blog.
Yes.
And he posts all sorts of stuff on the internet, on YouTube. And one, he portrayed the debate as you being a character called Joyless.
Yes.
Which you have to admit is kind of funny.
Yeah. No. Well, here's the thing. I started watching this and I'm like, hey, I sort of think that's supposed to be me, and other people also seem to think that.
How do we know that it's you, though? Because you used to have blue hair? Or
no,
is it just...
it's just...
Because you're kind of leading the charge, and you're the blogger on Tumblr.
Funny, because I don't even use Tumblr. It's like...
Alaska's sweet, but he gets a lot of things wrong.
You know, and also I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, I'm the blogger with a Twitter account. No, it's like I've written for Rolling Stone. Come on. You know, no one remembers that. But yeah, so I was watching, I was like, okay, ha ha ha, you're poking fun, ha ha ha, no big deal. I didn't like the fact that the character had a low voice, and I didn't really like the fact that the character had a mustache. You two can vouch for me. I don't have
a mustache.
You've
worked very hard to get rid of it.
It's not the parody that I would do of you.
Yeah, well, thanks.
You know.
At first, I
wouldn't wear a blue wig. I would wear a brown wig.
Exactly.
And you're actually dressed like me, so I don't know if you're parodying me right now.
I am.
We're wearing the black hoodie.
Yeah. That's kind of my... This is like my uniform. Black
hoodie. So did you know what was coming? Because at the end, of course, he pulls out a hairdryer and then, you know, shoots you with the hairdryer.
Yeah.
And then there's a bullet hole through your head.
Yeah, that was...
Well, did somebody warn you that this is...
No.
So you just knew that this was about this, and you're like, let me watch this and see what this is.
Well, here's the thing. I felt as though there were starting to be lines drawn, and I felt like Huffington Post Gay Voices was on one side of this, and it was the side that was saying, basically, be quiet, trans people. And as soon as I saw a post...
Get over it, girlfriend.
Yeah, you know, pretty much.
Okay.
As soon as I saw a post that was talking, you know, RuPaul's season 76, I'm... immediately start thinking, okay, this is going to be like, oh, what if we continue down this path, the slippery slope type of thing. And then seeing the James, who in the piece that I wrote last year at Huffington Post Gay Voices, Gay Dudes, Can You Just Not? James is the person I talk about in the first sentence. And he's actually the reason I stopped writing at Huffington Post, because I told Noah, James's boss, that I had an issue with the way that they use the words like tranny and ladyboy and stuff like that on their site. And we just kind of hit an impasse, and I said, I can't write here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before I had any sort of gig at The Advocate. So, you know, I just
even introducing you to the show, it's like, I don't, like, one thing that I discovered early on, and maybe they might benefit from our experience, is like people don't like to be called a gay musician or a transgender writer. You're just a writer. You're just a musician.
Yeah, I've written about sports.
Who has a huge experience and variety, and you bring your transgender experience into your work.
And so this James person that you write about, so you had an impasse with him, and so you see that he posts something.
And says it's hilarious.
And says it's hilarious, so you're like, let me see what this guy this guy is up to, and so you watch this video, and your immediate reaction was what?
I was kind of shocked for a minute. Mm-hmm. So I walked away from my computer, because this is after all of this has started to happen. I did receive a number of death threats, which, I mean, there is no segment on all of TV that's, you know, worth taking someone's life over. If I do, you know, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Even if you piss people off, it's like, just, okay, so Parker pissed you off, you're going to try and kill her.
Like, bring back she-mail, Parker must die, like, stuff like that.
So, well, we do have all those balloons, it seems.
I know. You know, I turned into the old man from Up.
So were you alarmed, or you're sitting kind of jovial right now, but it's like, it kind of like, I mean, I know when I read death threats against me, it's like, I'm always like, shut it down. Fuck you. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it inspires passion and anger.
Yeah. So the first thing I did was I went on Twitter and was just basically railing against Huffington Post, because it's like, why would you promote this? This was a poor move.
This is your Kanye moment.
Yeah. And so basically, you know, I was saying things like, you know, must be, you know, they must have run out of, they must have run out of slideshows to post that day, because now they've resorted to just searching YouTube for videos to post because that's their news, you know, stuff like that, calling them a clickbait factory, mm-hmm. stuff like, and, you know, just these stupid little jokes.
That's true, though. They
yanked the video because they said the next day they yanked the video and said, we understand why people are offended by it.
Yeah, I mean, it was something like that. It was kind of like, well, we thought this was a healthy part of discussion. Really, guys? This was
because you suspect that this guy James kind of has it out for you.
Well, I emailed him last year. Mm-hmm. So last year I emailed him and he never wrote back to me. And my email basically just says, you know, James, what do you have against me? And he never wrote back.
And did you ever bring this up to the editor? I mean,
no, I mean, it's just something that I thought would have, you know, I kind of just hoped would just kind of fade away, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, guess who I have on the other line is Alaska Thunderfuck.
Yes.
So you can confront your bully here and talk face to face. Hi, is this Alaska Thunderfuck?
Hi.
Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
We have Parker Marie Malloy here in the home studio. Say hi, Parker.
Hey.
Hi. Can you guys...
Hello, Parker.
Hi.
So what's going on? Did you take the video down, or what's going on with your video, your controversial video where you shoot...
You execute poor Parker Marie.
Right here.
With a hair dryer and a bullet hole through the head.
I just really wanted to call in. I don't want to like take away time from your interview, Parker, but I'm like, I really wanted to just like talk to you because I want to apologize for the video. And, you know, I put it out and I don't know what my headspace was or what my reasoning was. And like, I can like, there are many ways that you can justify art that you put out there, but like, I don't want to just justify it because I actually listened to like people responded to it. And that's why everyone's saying it's controversial. It's controversial. People were responding to it and they were like telling me how they felt about it. And I gave it a week's time and I was like, I'm going to actually listen to what people are saying. I'm not just going to like blindly just, you know, just do this. I was listening to how people felt about it. And like, I realized that it was hurting people's feelings. And I mean, I don't know if it's just like, I've been reading a lot of Buddhist literature lately, but like, I don't know. I feel like I want to be in a world and in a community where we can be kinder to one another, because that's never going to hurt, you know, just like being kinder to one another, and that has to start with myself. So, like, I was like, forget it. Like I'm taking this down. I've taken it down, and I posted a response video, which is RuPaul's Drag Race Season 77, which was the two characters that were in the other video, but, like, it's a year later, and they're, like, they're getting along, and they're living in harmony. And, like, and that's what I would like to see for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you, really are you do. Like, proposing to Parker?
I know. Yes. Yes.
She likes chicks.
Yeah, sorry.
Real chicks.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, that's all awesome.
How are you feeling?
I know. I feel touched, you know, in a positive way. Yeah, I know. Yeah, thanks.
I just feel like if we took the passion and the conviction that the activist trans community has, and we, like, combined it with this, like, over the top sort of marketable charisma of drag, mm-hmm. that, like, I feel like if we work together, like, we could really affect major social change and like world change, and that's what I want to do. So, like,
yeah.
I'm glad that your community and our community was so, like outspoken enough to, like, let me know that I was out of line, and I think that we can work together and, like, do really good things. So, like,
you know, at the core Chicago? Of this debate, she's our next door neighbor.
Pretty much.
At the core of this debate, though, since I have both of you guys here, at the core, and not to be an instigator now, but to ruin the honeymoon here, you two
gotta
love
keep
birds.
It interesting, though, don't we?
You know, at the core of this is you know, you were, listen, transgender people don't want drag queens to be using these words, and
then
drag queens.
Use them.
But, you know, it's like being a drag queen sometimes means being an asshole, being outrageous, being wrong.
But I want to, like, I don't know. I do like to envision a better world.
Do you feel that addressing Parker's concerns somehow co-opts or waters down your act as a drag queen?
No, absolutely not. Because I don't think that I have to do anything that is going to make people feel hurt. Or feel like hurt. Like, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and that is the last thing I want to do with my work or with my life. And so, like, if it is and it was and it has, then, like, really the least I can do is take down the poorly made piece of shit video. You know what I mean?
It was
that does not water down my art. I think it makes it richer, and I think it, and I think moving forward, I don't know. I just want to do better.
So,
you know?
So the thing about the video is, you know, I was watching it, and it's like, okay, this seems to be poking fun at me. And I was like, all right, you know, I can take
it.
And then
it was not like, it was not directly based on you.
Okay. But which is good. Good
she
to
liked
know.
It up until the part you killed her.
Yeah, I was like, this is okay, this is funny.
I mean, in some sense, it's like you're also portraying RuPaul as a homicidal maniac, which, you know, there is a little bit of accuracy
nobody
there.
Nobody came out looking good in that video, and you know, you can justify it up and down all day and night. Mm-hmm. That, like, oh, it's comedy. It's a parody. It's just like, but like. It was hurting people's feelings, and I don't know. I don't need to be in the business of hurting anybody's feelings.
The thing that I didn't like about the video primarily is, oh, you stole my creaky RuPaul arm joke, and you didn't give me credit.
Where's my apology?
Where's my apology? And may the best woman.
Well, this is your apology too, though.
Yay, I got
actually,
my
the joke,
I want tears like you gave Parker.
Yes. And kisses. Give me the kisses, Alaska.
I'll give you guys kisses when I'm in Chicago.
What are you coming, girl?
Hello? You there?
Oh, really? I would love to, like, sit down and, like chat with you, Parker.
Yeah.
When I'm in Chicago.
Let's do that.
You guys can come take a podcast together.
Yeah, there you go. We'll do a podcast together. And
make out.
And we'll check Alaska for hair dryers before he comes in.
I wouldn't rule it out, but no guarantee.
Well, you know, in Alaska, and some of your imagery in the past has you with a machine gun. You know, are you, and you like, you have a t-shirt that has a parody of a cigarette ad. And, yeah, you know, still. Like, what's the meaning behind that? And do you still feel like, you know, do you want to be associating yourself with guns in any way? Like, Gia, I didn't work too well for Gia Gunn.
I don't know, but I don't know. And I think that these things happen when they happen, and they happen for a reason to give us a chance to reassess what we're doing and the imagery and the content that we're putting out there. I mean, I can't go and like take away every shirt that I have that has a gun on it because I think it condones violence. I mean, that's not where it's coming from. And like, I don't smoke cigarettes, but it's a cigarette imagery.
Was that a real gun or was it a toy gun?
I don't know the answer, I guess.
Did you borrow that gun from your brother who's in the military, or was that like a plastic gun?
No, I just got it from clip art on Google image search and just pasted it on.
Well, you fooled.
Deleted my finger holes out of it.
Because part of me kind of likes the image of, you know, a commando Navy SEAL drag queen.
Make that happen.
Make it happen, baby. Listen.
Okay. We'll put my brother Corey in a wig and heels and.
It's about time. It's about time you dragged up your brother.
Yeah, but the thing about it is he's going to become his own chaser.
Yeah.
You know.
He's just going to sit in the He's just going to like tell himself how pretty he is in the mirror and not even leave the house.
Who's a pretty girl? You're a pretty girl. Alaska, thank you so much for your sweetness and reaching out and joining us today.
Of course. Thank you.
We got to talk about the world's richest transgender woman, Jennifer Pritzker.
Oh, cool.
So thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye. Does anybody have a tissue?
I know. I started tearing up when he started crying, but Parker was laughing.
Well, no. I'm really bad at dealing with emotions. It was like, am I supposed to cry or laugh? Or
more estrogen, Parker.
I know. Well, let's see. Every Tuesday night, I give myself my estrogen shot, so I'm kind of running low.
You gotta use testosterone blockers, too.
Yes. Yes, I do.
You know, it's like, you know.
What's your
thought about this? I mean, this is kind of like a really touching thing. And this is this is the kind of conversation I want to see happening.
No, I think that's great. This was awesome. I'm so glad, you know, we had a chance to talk.
So we don't have enough time to get Calpurnia Adams on the phone as well. But, you know, I mean, I think it was kind of mean that you guys did 100 people who don't like Calpurnia Adams.
Okay. Well,
A million.
1 million trans people against Calpurnia.
No, it was like 350 something. But first off, I didn't have anything to do with that.
That wasn't your thing.
No, it was just, you know, Zinnia wrote something up. And
Zinnia, who runs the
Zinnia's a troublemaker.
Blogger, and she is one of the moderators for Reddit LGBT.
Used to be one of the moderators of LGBT Reddit.
She was a defense witness in the Chelsea Manning trial.
Whoa.
So there's that.
Because back then, Manning, Chelsea Manning now, contacted Zinnia.
Before she was out either.
Before she was out. And they kind of became online friends. And so Zinnia's testimony was about...
I think kind of functioning as a character witness. Mm-hmm.
And it officially goes by Chelsea Manning now. The name has legally been changed.
Name has legally been changed. Prefers she, her pronouns, which...
And is it given access to hormones in prison now? Or,
no,
and,
not
and
yet.
And still housed in a male prison.
Yeah. See, and from what I understand, she's fine with being in the male prison. She isn't going to make that fight. Mm-hmm. But to get medical treatment, I'm, you know, prisoners are allowed necessary medical treatment and mm-hmm. hormone replacement therapy.
Well, part of it is that, you know, and you're still fighting for this thing, is that it's back to this thing that transgender people aren't real people, or they're mm-hmm. not a real man or not a real woman.
That we're just choosing.
And therefore, the medical treatment that they want, they're seeking, is cosmetic.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
a luxury.
It's the reason that I'm trying to raise money for my own type of various medical procedures online, because insurance won't cover it.
So you have to do like a Kickstarter?
Yeah, I have a GoFundMe because I want to get my face all cut up and like prettified.
You look great already.
Yeah, you get thanks. The bone shaved down, yeah. skin pulled.
Yeah, do your parents go like, what are you talking about? You look good.
My parents were like, well, okay. You know, it seemed like it was yeah. one of those things where it's like, well, life can't get any weirder for you. So let's just, yeah, sure.
So how do they find your GoFundMe?
Oh, it's GoFundMe.com/Parker's face. So, yeah. So basically,
How much are you looking to raise?
I have to try to raise $24,000.
Is that just for the face?
That's just face.
And what exactly what are you looking to get done?
So basically, cut my face off, which that's not at all scary, and then just kind of sand down.
They cut your face off?
Well, yeah. they
the skin. They peel the skin, like...
Okay. Why don't you just get, like, you know, a face transplant?
I know. I basically
grind down the bones.
I describe it to people as, you know, the movie Face Off.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
are you doing here in Chicago?
I want to.
Doctor
yeah.
that's out in the suburbs.
Yeah, yeah. That's who I want to go with. But okay. you know, again, I'm.
We had a friend who recently went to her and went to him and with some good success.
Yeah. I mean, I know a few people have gone to this yeah. guy, and, you know, he does good work.
He has good floats on the Gay Pride Parade.
Why don't you just ask Jennifer Pritzker, the world's richest transgender person,
mm-hmm.
Billionaire, mm-hmm. not millionaire, billionaire, who is the founder of the Tawani Foundation, and that's her choosing. What is Tawani?
It sounds like Elmer Fudd saying that, you know, the
tranny,
T word we're
yeah.
not supposed to say. And I'm just kind of like, and you know, because, you know, Elmer Fudd is kind of transphobic in himself because he's always chasing Bugs Bunny, who's dressed up as a woman
yep.
and trying to kill him.
Has anyone ever asked Jennifer Pritzker, like,
we have to find out
what's up with Tawani Foundation? What is a Tawani Enterprise?
Is she pranking people?
I don't have the slightest idea. I don't question billionaires.
No?
I just, you know,
billionaires are the ones you're supposed to question.
But they're the ones who could crush you.
Yeah, that's true.
She's a lovable, huggable.
Dig a hole, put you in it, pour concrete over it, and then build a hotel on top
yeah.
of you.
Yeah,
and then
much.
You're done. Pritzker's.
Yeah, more or less. You know.
Jennifer is like a lovely person, and I'm sure she like is just... Asked her nicely, she'd pay for your...
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, $20,000 to her is like $1.50 to me.
I got a great idea for Jennifer's people, if they're listening to this. Start a, like, scholarship.
There you go.
Like, for trans people, and say, listen, I want to, you know, it's kind of like a Kickstarter, you know, so they're not having to fund all of it, but they'll match funds or something like that.
And so with Obamacare, it doesn't cover anything for trans health? Doesn't cover hormones. It doesn't
mandate that
okay.
it needs to cover it.
Okay.
Now, some states have taken it upon themselves to interpret the law in a way that mm-hmm. says, yes, it should cover hormones and should cover surgeries and stuff like that. My insurance policy that I have right now does cover hormones, but, you know, that's where it ends. And you know, I'm a writer, so
right.
I am
so
no
you're
money.
Broke like podcasters.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to the world. You know, Feast of Fun would not be possible without your financial support. If you are not a premium subscriber and listen to all our fabulous programming, consider doing so at feastoffun.com/plus. And we have three new fabulous t-shirts. Chantay Yustay for people who are into charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's reading is fundamental, and also the shade is strong with this one.
Featuring a fabulous peacock.
A peacock for the peacock inside you, for mm-hmm. the drag queen that lives inside all of us, that sometimes needs to cut a bitch.
Yeah, sign. You know, people should subscribe. Otherwise, it yes. becomes feast of famine.
Now, you were a little bit leery about coming on the podcast.
Ah, yeah.
And you were like, I have to say, I apologize for basically throwing you out the baby with the bathwater. and saying, what is it exactly that I said?
I've got a quote.
What, bankrupt?
Yeah. Emotionally and mentally bankrupt.
Your quote from your March, April 15th episode, Zinnia Jones and Parker Marie Molloy, who I find to be bankrupt of useful ideas of any kind. And then that's when your guest, what's his name? The comedian.
Brian
Swinger.
Yeah, so Brian jumps in and he's like, yeah, okay, and, you know, lip sync for your life is so much... You know, and then you jump back in and you go, I'm a fan of RuPaul's. I am not a fan of Zinnia's, and I am not a fan of Parker Marie Molloy. I think they're trying to nag us as a community.
And I do, and in some ways, it is feel, you know, my frustration is that as gay men, and I think you probably share this experience, is that we get our families and our parents nagging at us to try to conform. And so when we hear these kind of criticism, and my feelings were hurt, I was just like going, you know, I'm butthurt about it because of the fact that I feel like I'm just being, it's just another person trying to, you know, sheriff my thoughts and feelings and outrageousness. And I want to let my freak flag fly freely, funky and fabulous.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, society has these... You know, kind of rules. You don't run down the street yelling the N-word.
I sometimes do.
Well, you know, so that's who's been doing it in the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, he's covered in honey, and
But you know, it's one of these things where it's just like there are some things that are socially acceptable, and then there are some things that just aren't. And you know, if you want to refer to yourself as something, that's cool.
But another thing that's happening here is that it's like we're kind of like dogs on a leash that are barking. And it's like when we come face to face with each other, it's like, oh, you're so sweet, you're so lovely and stuff. But behind, it's like,
well, it's easy.
I'm
to
on Twitter.
Dehumanize somebody and not care about their feelings when you're separated from them.
When you're not face to face with them, and I think that's a big problem that young people face today is they don't have enough face time with other people.
Yeah.
And then, so it's so easy to dehumanize and to insult somebody. Seriously, like Parker, I apologize for
it's
that.
It's okay.
But
I'm about accepting apologies.
I'm still holding a grudge against Zinnia.
Well, you know, she's great. And, you know, but one thing I wanted to bring up, just on the topic of Zinnia and her letter. So her letter was partially in response to Calpurnia Adams and partially in response to Andrea James, both of whom said some
pretty nasty. So it was Zinnia who organized the 100 people.
I wasn't aware of that.
Okay. In my mind, you're the same person, too.
Yeah,
so.
Kind of. No. We're both in our 20s, and, you know, it's...
Young, transgender, thought leaders and writers.
We both wear glasses. So anyway, so she wrote this letter, and a bunch of other people signed on. It wasn't just a group of random people. There was a GLAAD board member who signed on there. There was a professional MMA fighter who signed on.
But I can find 100 people to agree on anything.
Well,
you know, does that...
Yeah,
100 Helens.
No.
Remember that from the Kids in the Hall?
But
100 Helens.
40 Helens agree.
So anyway, but the whole point was, hey, you know, I think they were trying to say, hey, Calpurnia and Andrea, you don't stop trying to say you speak for a community, because I never say that I speak for all trans. I speak for myself. I speak on my own experience. Now, Calpurnia in her piece was saying basically, if you're, you know, if you're young and you know, you don't really deserve a voice, you haven't earned it, and that sort of thing.
I guess she felt like you were like the young people can be overzealous, and maybe they're just like asking too much.
But let us be overzealous then, because we'll figure it out.
Well, be fair, she did say that on the podcast that she feels like she doesn't want to water down your passion.
Yeah.
She wants you to be passionate and be intense, but at the same time, give people a little love, a little bit of wiggle room.
So, yeah.
Give RuPaul the love that she keeps asking people to give.
Yeah, well...
is why you love RuPaul and you want RuPaul to be a better person.
I do. You know, that's the thing. I can go out and argue with, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church, but, you know, I know that they're not going to change. RuPaul, you know,
RuPaul could have said something about this, well, you know, and had a discussion.
I'm waiting for like a deathbed, like,
you know, two cryptic tweets is not an explanation.
Well, and RuPaul, you know, has lots of media opportunities and channels to address this. And if anybody can bring our community together, it's RuPaul.
Well, yeah,
I think he is capable of doing it. And I'm still hopeful that something, I mean, this is just the beginning, you and Alaska talking to each other. And I think, you know, this is really healthy and moving forward. Now, one thing that I think that is a big challenge for trans rights and equality is that for a lot of trans people, they don't want to identify as transgender at all. Well, they want to transition and be done with
it. That's up to them. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's...
But see, as gay men and from LGBT liberation, it was like out of the closet and to the streets. And there's so much like scrutiny on closeted celebrities because of the fact that we feel that when people come out and identify, when they name it and they claim it, they're able to bring about change.
Sure. Oh, and I totally agree. I think that the more people who are out as transgender will help push change faster because there's so few of us. But at the same time, if someone says, I don't want to be a part of, you know, any sort of political movement, I just want to live my life and I want to, you know,
I want to be a mom and raise kids and do everything else than other people do.
More power to them, you know, that's the thing. But yeah, just getting this whole situation, I feel like just really distorted a lot of views and really brought out some of the best in people and the worst all at the same time.
Were you surprised about how many people, like how many gay guys especially, that were just like, you are a pride, you're these words out of my cold, dead hands.
Which it's kind of like, okay, because the argument everyone was falling back on was, well, wait, who's to say drag queens shouldn't use this word? Okay, but most drag queens who were interviewed about this, you know, whether it was, you know, contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race or... you know, former contestants or just drag queens in general, most were like, yeah, you know, that's fine. You know, if your career can't survive removing one word or two words out of it, what is your career really based on?
You know, and words do, and people are just, you know, words do fall out of use. Yeah. I mean, people don't, you don't call a black woman a negress anymore. You know, it just, it seems archaic. And when the word even shemale, it sounds like an old kind of old timey word.
It sounds like, well, it is actually comes from not just that book, but it comes from
that's an awful
pulp
book.
Fiction. You know, what's the title of the original, the book that a lot of trans people...
Constructing Women or something?
No, it's The Transsexual Empire, The Making of the She-Male, which is by Janice Raymond, who is a second wave feminist.
And second wave.
We're tying things back. Second wavers had a tendency to be very transphobic. But yeah, she at one point in the book says that transgender people should be morally mandated out of existence, which... Awesome.
So, but before that, the word shemale was used to describe hard women, women who had hard lives, and so they were desiring to, you know, the comfort of other women in prison.
They were like bull dykes.
Women under extreme circumstances. That basically the construct on a lot of pulp fiction from the 1950s was if something bad happened to you, you became a lesbian.
Isn't that
how that makes sense? That's how it works, I think, right?
And so that's where the term shemale was kind of like hard women. You know, I don't know if you've heard that expression.
Yeah,
it's like a hard woman is good to find, which is not that's what Soloflex ad.
No, it's a hard man.
A hard man is good to find, but it's like usually people using the term hard women as an insult that women are supposed to be soft and.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, what's interesting.
I'd say I'm pretty hard. I mean,
I think you're pretty girly. I don't know.
Yeah, but I got my black.
But the thing is, it's like all women dress like this today. You know, it's like my mother says that we're becoming more and more androgynous, and as we wear jeans and hoodies and
fine
t-shirts.
By me.
And I'm like, listen, what's convenient for one gender, it's also convenient for the other.
Yeah, I mean, most people seem to think that it's like, oh, you're trans, so they expect to see me in like a, you know, like
a ball gown
or something. It's like, no, I wear jeans every day. I've actually never worn a dress outside.
Well, that's
in my
thing,
life.
Like, we were friends with somebody for years, and we had no clue that she was trans. And part of it is because she, you know, was frumpy. And it's like, you know, because, you know, sometimes I think when people think about transgender, they think drag queen, they think a performer, they think somebody who has a ton of makeup on.
Right.
And so to see somebody kind of like, you know, subdued and casual.
Which are most trans women I know. I mean, that's the thing. You see the extremes on
Amanda Lepore, people like that.
Yeah. So. And there's, you know, or even like, you know, which was actually the point I was trying to make in the essay that got Calpurnia so mad at me, was that there are so many different kinds of trans people, you know, and I made the mistake of using the term drag queen to refer to Calpurnia Adams, which I'm sorry. But, you know, I mean,
because she's a showgirl.
Yeah. But here, here's a quote. I listened to so many episodes and I kept writing down quotes. I don't remember which of the two of you said this, but on your March...
If it was intelligent, it was probably me.
All right, that makes sense.
Thanks a lot.
Well, then it was you.
Oh. but Fausto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
March 27th show. There are some people who try to say that trans drag queens aren't really drag queens because they're performing femininity as a way to express their thing. But I'm just like, you're trans and you're dressed up looking like a drag queen with a wig and your makeup is crazy and you've got earrings and you're lip syncing to a song. You're a drag queen.
I stand by that.
So you're calling Calpurnia a drag queen?
She doesn't lip sync.
Okay.
She is. That's the key. That's
holy
the real
technicality.
Key. Listen, if you're dressed like a drag queen and if you're up on stage lip syncing, yes. But I mean, if she's a musician, she's a computer programmer. She does all sorts of stuff. You know, she's
a
been
woman
in the
of
forefront of this
talents.
Kind of thing for a long time.
Well,
it's the lip syncing part.
Well, and my feeling is like, you know, I'm Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. You know, do you remember that scene in the movie where the whole town's people come out and they're all like, I'm a drag queen, like Spartacus.
Yeah, right.
I'm a drag queen. Well, I'm a drag queen. And I'm like, listen, there's drag queens, there's transgender, there's lesbians, there's gays, there's asshole straight white guys inside all of us.
There are a lot of them.
there's a side to us in our psyche that reflects society at large.
Yeah.
Inside, there's a universe inside you and me.
But so my point was that just in general, I don't think we should apply labels to people who, you know, if you don't identify, if Calpurnia doesn't identify as a drag queen, which is now, believe me, I have learned she does not. No matter what, you know, other, when researching it was like, okay, New York Times Magazine called her that. Mm-hmm. You know, well, a bunch of different sources here and there. So it's like, if she doesn't identify with that term, I shouldn't have called her that.
Right.
And that was the thing. It was an issue where I looked up, I found two or three sources that called her that, and I was like, okay, and she also hosts drag events pretty frequently. I was like,
bingo at Hamburger Mary's.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, I think Monica Beverly Hills said it best, it's just like, I'm trans, drag is what I do.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I never once questioned that Calpurnia is a woman. Of course she is, you know, and she's been through a lot in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Parker Marie Malloy, the time has come to end this podcast. But
all
your
good
journey,
things must come to an end.
Yes. But your journey continues on and on. And
please come back in the future.
Yeah. You know, I live like three blocks from here, so
yeah,
you know.
Please do.
Kids, you better enjoy your new mommy.
We're coming up on our 2000th show in June, folks.
We've been podcasting
Get
for
ready.
10 years.
Wow.
Oh, my God. We've talked to so many. It's really interesting to see transgender consciousness and just consciousness of marginalized people of all kinds changing throughout the 10 years. When I started performing at the age of 18 as a drag queen on television, the word transgender had not been coined.
Mm-hmm.
And so one word I used to describe, because I thought of my character as transgender, and so I described her as a hermaphrodite.
Oh.
And that was a term that actually transgender people at that time liked, you know? But now it's seen as a slur word.
Yeah.
And so I get criticized, and I'm like, that was 25 years ago, you know? It's like,
you know, it's one of those, like, you know, let the past
in the time
be the past.
Capsule.
Yeah, but exactly.
See, to me, I'm like, I think hermaphrodite is a beautiful word because it refers to like Greek mythology.
Well, I mean, really, it's a word that I think some people who are intersex, where they're born with either ambiguous genitalia, which that's always a word I feel
you
weird
saying.
You
said we weren't going to talk about genitalia.
I know, just yes. mine. You weren't going to talk about mine.
I'm not Katie Couric.
I try not to sleep with our guests, Parker, just so you know. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask.
So, you know, it's one of those terms that, yeah, it's reclaimed by a group of people who... You know,
Is it being reclaimed, or it seems so dated and old?
Generally, it's dated. I don't think too many people use it, but if anyone does, intersex.
Trans friends that say they're like, oh, people say they're intersex, but they're not really intersex. Yeah.
And I guess one of our guests, Jamison Green, a trans man who writes a lot about language, did a study in 2011 about the words that people use. And he had like this list, Parker, that is like 500. More, I mean, it was just like this laundry sure. list
of how people identify their gender.
Their is it gender more than expression.
Facebook, more than Facebook's 54?
52.
Yeah, 52. You know, which is good. More choices. Yeah.
But it did kind of dissolved into a thin air, and I wish I reached out to him for this podcast to find out what happened to that and what was the results. Like, what were some of the common or surprising answers that people gave in that survey?
Yeah, and just, you know, on the topic of language, as that's been kind of most of the podcast now, on that topic, you know, again, I want to reiterate the point to all the listeners out there who right now, you know, up until this point have wanted to strangle me and think that I'm the Antichrist. You know, I don't want to take any words away from anyone. I just think that we should respect one another and... You know, if someone doesn't want to be called something, don't call them that. If you want to call yourself, you know, a man, a woman, a porcupine, call yourself princess. I don't care, you know, because people should have the right to just claim their own identity.
That's beautifully
put. There you go. And now I'm going to cry like Alaska.
Oh, you are.
So everybody's cried here except for you.
I'm sorry, I'm a hard woman, tears. People. It takes a lot. Actually, I was like crying during the Spider-Man movie, you know, because it's like I'm very attached to my partner, Mark. And it's like, you know, whenever I see couples like dying in a spoiler alert.
Oh,
I just wanted
just
everybody
end the
to
podcast.
Die. I wanted everybody to die in that movie because it was so bad. Anyways, but before we wrap this up, one thing I wanted to ask you was about the Trans 100.
Yeah.
You were this year's one of the nominees of this Trans 100.
Yes, it was.
Honor. But don't you worry that like having 100 of anything waters down the prestige of the award? I mean, I feel about this about top 100 lists of anything.
Sure.
I mean, Casey Kasem with a... You know, with a song top 100 now.
Here's the thing. I think with the Trans 100, it's not intended to be like a top 100 where if you didn't get it, you're not one of the top 100 trans people or whatever the case may be. It's just to highlight a large group of trans people doing cool things. I mean, I was really honored to have been included with, you know, people like Carmen Carrera. Laura Jane Grace, who is local. She's the singer of this band Against Me.
You're wearing the hoodie.
I am wearing an Against Me hoodie. Lana Wachowski was also named. CeCe McDonald.
I'm so
just
pissed off
awesome
I didn't get
names.
Invited to that party.
It was free.
It was free. I didn't even know about it.
I didn't even know about it.
I know. I was totally gone.
Laverne Cox gave this awesome keynote speech.
Did they actually? This is a weird thing. So it was an awards ceremony, but then it took them several weeks to post the names of the winners.
Which, from a PR point of view, maybe that might not have been.
It didn't make any sense.
It's a newer organization, so I think they're having some growing pains.
It's run by just a select few individuals, and I mean, this is all volunteer work that they do. So, like, that's understandable. I mean, Jen Richards, who's local, and then Tony Dorsey, who lives in Arizona, those two came up with the idea for this and put it together. So it was just really like a shoestring kind of thing that built into, because trans people don't really have any other...
Did Jennifer Pritzker foot the bill to fly in, like, you know, Laverne Cox and other people? Because she owns the theater that you...
Yes,
that
she does own that.
That you did it in.
I don't know.
Because I know Laverne Cox is not coming on her own dime.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, she got paid.
She was there. Janet Mock was there. Great crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that it's just, it's run by a few people who could maybe use some extra help next year. So people should volunteer for them.
What would a volunteer for the Out 100 be like? You gotta get my friend an award. I mean, that's because it's basically they
organizing writing the information, presenting it to the media. Because I mean, the reason why you have awards like this is to get immediate attention on these people.
And so ideally, you want it to come out like the next day.
I just wish it wasn't 100 people, because it's like, but it just feels so like a water zone. Well, there's many years.
I know, and no one on the Trans 100 can be selected again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
I think Kate or Lana got the award twice. No? Okay. No,
Kate wasn't on this year. Lana wasn't on last year.
But they've all received them. Basically all the guests of the show.
Let's go watch RuPaul's Drag Race, Fausto.
Parker, Marie Malloy, thank you so much for coming on the show again.
Thanks for having me.
People can follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, just at Parker Malloy. Mm-hmm. M-O-L-L-O-Y.
And that's like your main hub of communication. You're also on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I have a website, parkthatcar.net.
Which is always the transmission is always well lubed and well geared.
Yeah. And then of course I write at The Advocate, so you know if you see an article about trans stuff, there's probably a 90% chance I wrote it.
Click on it.
Do it.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Bye.
Later.
Mm-hmm.